One of the things I failed to mention was the fact that we'll be in one service starting next week for 3 months. We're doing that for several reasons. The large one is because during the winter it gets really hard, especially when you wake up and you're unsure of the weather, making sure, and then we have to let everybody know. Everybody. We can't just text one or two people and say, hey, don't come for service. We have to let everybody know because then we don't know who's going to come for service. So that's a large part of it. So we'll start next week with one service at 10 o'clock. I'm going to ask you, if you would please, to turn in your Bibles to Psalm 37 and Psalm 25. And I'm going to read those this morning, and then I'm going to pray, and then we'll get in with the message, and I'll explain what's going on as we get into it. Psalm 37, verses 23 and 24, and then Psalm 25, verses 4 and 5. The steps of a man are established by the Lord when he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be cast headlong, for the Lord upholds his hand. And then in chapter 25, verses 4 and 5, it says, make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you, you are the God of my salvation. For you, I will wait all day long. Would you join me in prayer as we get started, please? Lord, open your word up to us today, and I pray that as we talk about how we are thankful for your plans, that you will help us to realize that your plans are better than ours. And we say that a lot, but I pray that we'll be able to just take that and put that into our hearts and into our heads and into our minds. And Lord, help us to see that your ways are higher than our ways, your thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And so be with our service today, be with the guest, and I pray that you'll just help us to just bring home this message that you are worth it all and that your ways are better than ours. And I pray this in Jesus' name, amen. We have moved a few times. I'm going to move my chair just a tad here. We have moved a few times. From college in Grayson, Kentucky, we moved to Akron, Ohio, where we were for 2.5 years. And I was the associate youth pastor. And then I always wanted to preach, and so we moved to a little town called Kirkpatrick, Ohio. There was not even a stoplight there. There was not even a stop sign there. It was on the main drag, one of the main drags going through, and so you blink your eyes, you're through it. You know, you pass the church building up. Very country. I'd been raised in Pittsburgh, and so this was a whole new ball game to me. We were there 5 years when I had a church ask me if I would be willing to be their youth pastor, and so I left that and went to that church, and that didn't work much more than 14 months when we found ourselves, and that was in Massillon, Ohio, and then we moved to Fordville, Indiana. And the church was a very small storefront church, very, very legalistic. Their whole idea was, we are right, you are wrong, and we'll argue with you about it. And so I argued my way right out of that place 16 months later. It just about killed me there. I went through burnout. And I just couldn't live anymore like that, because I myself was like that. And I couldn't live with that mentality anymore. So we moved to Danville, Ohio, where we were for a little over 3 years. And then we moved to Terre Haute, where we were there for 13 years. And when that ministry ended, we moved to Sandusky, Ohio, which is where Joe is actually from about sixth grade up. Her parents still lived there. Her father had passed away in 98. And so in 2000, after her father passed away, I told her, I said, we'll start looking. And wherever we go, we'll get closer to home. And so the ministry ended in Terre Haute. And we moved in with her mom and sister. And that was fun. We had a bedroom. Tammy had a basement. Jan had half a bedroom until they both got Tammy eventually moved to Tennessee, and Jana moved to Columbus, Ohio. And so she went to college, finished up at home, and then moved. And I served there for 5 years as the pastor of the church there when we moved to Market Street in a town called Spencer. 1 year later, we moved to 563 East North Street, and we are still there. And I have no plans on moving anywhere, including in town. And hopefully, you guys won't get too tired of me that you'll say, I think you need to move elsewhere. So anyway, at times it seemed like we no longer put our tent stakes down, that we were pulling our tent back up and moving again. And I have to admit that if it hadn't been for a good woman, there were times that I would have given up. I didn't understand. And I guess you can say our life was somewhat of being a nomad. But there's a man in the Bible who had a life of a nomad. His name is Abraham. And I found this quote by Chuck Swindoll in a book of his. He talked about Abraham's pioneer spirit, and it's in your bulletin. It's going to be up here. When it comes to biblical examples of pioneer spirit, there is no better place to start than with Abraham. With that indomitable faith of his, no obstacle loomed too large. No situation seemed too threatening. The man, though up in years, struck out on a journey into new frontiers that was so surprising, so extreme, his peers must have shook their heads in disbelief for months after he and his wife left. And so it's this whole idea of living as a pioneer, living as a nomad. And while most of us would never experience the life that Abraham, or have not experienced the life that Abraham has, there are a few people who have. God's plan, and that's what the message is this morning, is God's plan. God's plan has never been for us to know everything, frankly. And we will never know every rhyme or reason as to why things happen and why we end up doing what we end up doing. There are times that I look back now and I realize why we had to move. But when you're in the middle of something, sometimes things are as clear as mud. You just can't find it. And there are times that his plan would be perfectly clear. It's like crystal clear. And you just can't miss it. But there are other times you're going, well, what's going on, God? And so I want to talk to you this morning. And I have a guest who's going to share his story as well. And if you, first of all, take a look at the promise of guidance, that scripture that I read to you at the very beginning from Psalm 37, 23 and 24, and then also Psalm 24, verses 4 and 5. But there's another one that I added that is not in your bulletin. It's going to be up on the screen for you, though. It's from Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9. The heart of a man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. And moving on, my theme over the month has been I am thankful. And so we've talked about I'm thankful for his provision, and I'm thankful for his patience. And I know you love and respect me. At least Joe does. And I have spoken about how God's plan is often difficult to grasp. You don't understand sometimes why things happen the way they do. But I sometimes wonder how much of it gets through as I talk about it, and how much you could say something so often and the bell stops ringing, A couple of months ago, in a group of men that I'm having a devotional time with called New Morning Mercies, we talked about God's plan, and one of the men shared his story of one situation where God's plan was not evident, but became evident. And so I asked him if he would be willing to share his story in November, since I already knew. And that was back in September. And I asked him if he would be willing to share his story and even more. And he said yes. And so we made a plan for today. I made a trip to his house one evening we talked, I ate salmon, and that's the best way to get to my heart, you know. And then we talked some more, and many of you know him. You and the second service, you'll know his family. He's a former bearded wonder, now the beardless wonder. Some of you know Ryan Spires. Ryan, come on up. Would you welcome Ryan, please? And he has, I'm going to ask him to tell you about the rest of his family, even though they're not here, because some of you don't know Ryan. Ryan used to play bass for us, and at the end of the talk, you will find out what they're doing now. Ryan?
So I'm Ryan Spires. We attended, my family and I, my wife's Amanda. I've got three children. They're not children anymore. Dominic, who is 19, Keegan, who is 17, and Aaliyah, 16. And we attended OVCF for about, 10, 11 years or so. Yeah. And back in April, March time frame, we were felt led to move to Martinsville and put together some things. But more on that later. But yeah, that's where we are, and that's who I am.
Okay. Okay, your faith story, your Amanda's faith story, really starts in Terre Haute. You were working there, but you resigned your job. Tell us a little bit about that, and because it's obviously God's leading.
Yeah. So back 20 years ago, wow. We lived in Terre Haute. I was working for a small consulting firm that was based out of the East Coast, and they asked me to do something that I didn't really consider ethical. As a result, I put in my resignation. At the time, I had two boys born. They were both still in diapers. Aaliyah was on the way. Didn't have a job lined up, but I felt that I couldn't proceed with that job, that I couldn't continue working for a company that was asking me to do things that I felt were significantly unethical. As a result, I became unemployed. Spent the next 5 to 6 months trying to find work. I found an occasional job here and there. But that ended up putting us about two month payments behind in house payment, 2 months behind in car payment, and about $20,000 in credit card debt. Plus, now we have a medical bill because Aaliyah was born during that time. And now we've got a $10,000, $12,000 medical bill stacked on top of that. We were hurting. We were broken. We decided after spending as much time as I could trying to find a job in Indiana to look for a job elsewhere. And it was breaking our hearts. One of our pastors wasn't very accommodating with that. We were attending a small church, really the first church I had attended as a Christian. One of the pastors that we had there was pretty upset about it and basically told me that wasn't God's plan for us to move away. So he said we need to just stay put and tough it out. That was hard on us. The other pastor was much more supporting. But what ended up coming about was I got a position offered to me in New York City. It was another consulting position. This was about late May, early June, and it was going to require me to be on the road 5 days a week. I was going to have to leave my three babies, my wife, and effectively travel to New York City. This was around, June 2001. I think you all probably are familiar with what happened on September 11th, 2001. So there's some significance there, but we asked God that night. I had to provide a 24-hour, basically, they gave me 24 hours to make a decision of taking the position or not. And I prayed to God and said, you know, if there's any way that we can stay together as a family, I'll take anything else, anything, you know, as long as we can stay together as a family. The next day I get a call from a headhunter. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that term. It's in the tech world, it's someone who looks for people. They contract people to hire people for companies. So I was hired or contacted by a headhunter for a full-time position in Fort Smith, Arkansas. So Fort Smith, Arkansas, middle of nowhere. I had no idea where it was. Hours away from family. Had no idea that would, you know, what was going on. But it's like, okay, God, you provided an opening. So I turned down the position in New York before even having the job in Fort Smith. So that takes us, I guess, to the next step. I don't know if...
Well,
keep going.
Keep going. You're, right. Keep going. You're off of script, but that's okay.
All right. I'm off script.
This is the script.
All right. So, all right. So we moved. We moved to Fort Smith, Arkansas, and found a small church there, attended, and one of the things that we recognized after the fact, again, as part of that trip, we didn't know what God's plan was. We didn't know what our plan was. We were acting in faith. We got out there. Fort Smith, basically, when they hired me on, they did not hire me immediately because they needed me to start literally the next week. I came in for the interview. They hired me on the spot and said, "We need you to come back like Monday." This is a 10-hour drive, and Amanda and I and Aaliyah at the time, she was still nursing, drove down. I had to drive them back to Indiana, drove them back home, and then drove back to Fort Smith over a long weekend. And they basically, it blew my mind. They hired me on as a consultant for 2 weeks, and then they gave me a bonus on top of that that allowed me to pay all my bills to get everything current and have enough money to move. I couldn't even expected that. I mean, it was just amazing. Am I about back on the script now?
Yeah, you're back on the script now. Right. Yeah, go right ahead.
All right.
Well, you blew me away there. Okay, so you were involved in a church in Terre Haute, a very small one.
Mm-hmm.
And when you moved there, you've already mentioned about the two pastors.
Right.
But there was something else that you felt that after you looked back, there was a reason you needed to move.
Yeah, so as part of our move, one of the things that was happening was family relationships can get kind of troubling at times, and not Amanda and I directly, but our extended family. And we realized that by moving away, it allowed Amanda and I to grow closer together. It really allowed us to put our faith in God even more because we weren't having to rely on family. We knew no one. We moved in the middle of nowhere with no one around. Amanda, she probably hadn't left Dana, small town north of Terre Haute, other than when she met me. So she was really out of her element. And we had three babies. But we found a small church. It was great, and I was able to start in the youth there and do some cool stuff there. One of the other things that we didn't know until we got out there and then looking back was there was a rift beginning to develop between the two pastors. We were very good friends with both, and this didn't come about until we actually moved again. We found out about it, but the church ended up splitting and subsequently shutting down. But it would have put us in a really awkward situation. When I say small church, when we first started going, there was a pretty good size, but at one point, the church consisted of two pastors and ourselves. That was the church. So it was very small, and we actually relocated from Brazil, Indiana to Terre Haute. So we grew the church a little larger from that, but God did. It was definitely... Would have impacted our relationships greatly.
Okay, so you were in Fort Smith about 18 months,
right,
doing a consulting firm, and then the company basically realized.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah. So they hired me on for a full project, and basically we got the project done in a year. During that time, I trained two other people, and as part of that process, we realized that, yeah, for a project, three full-time employees was going to work great. Once you're in maintenance mode, you don't really require three full-time employees. They were both from Fort Smith, so we decided we wanted to be closer to family anyway, so we ended up taking a position in Nashville, Tennessee, and allowed them to continue working and maintaining the environment.
Okay, but two other things happened then. When you moved to Nashville, it definitely confirmed that God was in this whole process, even though you didn't understand why you needed to leave Fort Smith, why you needed to move to Nashville, but then, you know, it's one of those clear as mud things to become clear as day. What were those two things that you learned?
So, yeah, while we were in Nashville, there's a couple things. Number one, the two things you're referring to, I think, would be my stepdad, while we were in Nashville, ended up being diagnosed with leukemia. And I would not have been able to make the trip back and forth. We ended up making about a monthly trip from Nashville, Tennessee, back to Martinsville, where he was living during the early stages. And it progressed pretty quickly over the course of about 2 years. And during about the last 6 months, we were making about monthly trips, then about every other week, and then I was getting down to weekly trips that I was making back up, and, you know, was able to really spend a good portion of time with him during that time.
So
could never have done that from Fort Smith. I mean, that would have just not been an option. So that was one thing. And then the other thing was my sister and her two kids were in a pretty tough situation. I won't go into the details. But bottom line is, they were in danger. They needed an escape. And so we, by being in Nashville, buying a house, planning on planting roots there, allowed her to move in with us with her two kids, and so they were able to escape a pretty devastating situation from where they were coming from.
Okay, and why, when you moved to Nashville, I think it's kind of humorous what he tells. Is how did you find a church? What did you do looking for a church?
So you talk about God's plan, you talk about my plan. So here's my plan. Here's how we planned on doing it, and exactly what we did. We first moved to an apartment in Nashville, northwest side of Nashville, and decided that we were going to visit a church and you know, every weekend until we found one that, you know, met the criteria. So we had our checklist out. We, you know, youth at that time, we had three babies, or three small babies, one small baby, two barely out of diapers. So they had to have a children's program. They had to have great worship. They had to have a small group. They had to have this. They had to have that. You know, we didn't want to sit in pews. You know, I'm being a little facetious here, but, you know, we had our checklist, and we wanted 100%, right? So we visited a church.
You're looking for the perfect church.
We were looking for the perfect church. Until we walked in and made it imperfect. So as we visited every church, sometimes two on a Sunday, we'd go to a 9 a.m. service and then a 10:30 service just to find that church, because we were trying to buy a home. And we wanted to find the church and then buy the home because we wanted to be in the same neighborhood. That was my plan. 4 months later, and I can't tell you how many different number of churches that we'd visited, we still hadn't planted down. We decided, okay, my plan's not working. We're going to buy a house. So we bought a house and ended up attending a small church that actually worked out pretty well for us. We ended up meeting some good friends that were part of a small group. Now, the wild thing about that was the church, the small group that we were in, all of our friends ended up moving away. I don't understand that. I don't see why people move. But one of our friends, there and her family, moved to Florida. Another family moved to New York, and so on and so forth. But so that takes us through Nashville.
Okay, and you were working in a cubicle farm.
Yeah.
And then something happened with the company that to me, it's a whole God thing with the circumstances.
So as a IT guy, I had my resume online. I hadn't removed it. It'd only been a couple, three, 4 years. And I occasionally get headhunters calling me for positions, and I'd entertain the idea. And it really wasn't even an option while my sister was living with us. But after she had moved out, we kind of talked about it. It was like, you know what? We're content. We're happy with where we are. Let's, you know, we're gonna plant roots. We love Nashville. It's close enough, but not too close. But, you know, it's pretty decent climate. You know, we kind of like this. I was riding my motorcycle pretty much daily. All was good. And then, the company I was with decided they were going to do mandatory layoffs. And so they started at cubicle one, came in the door, escorted the guy to the back, escorted him out the door. Cubicle two, take the guy back, take him to the door. Cubicle three. So up until this point, the day before, I had just turned down an option for an interview. And not that I was going to be, like I said, I wasn't even entertaining the idea at the point. But I had their number. So by cubicle three, I made the phone call. I didn't know where they were going to stop. I didn't know where it was going to lead. So I made the phone call and said, hey, yeah, about that interview. Something we could set up maybe today. So they got an interview, and the nice thing about that was one of the guys that was let go, they actually stopped at three. One of the guys that they let go actually was hired back on when I left. His family was actually from the Nashville area, had born and raised, all his kids were in school, and it just, I mean, you could just see looking back how God used an opportunity. We really didn't have family in the area. I mean, we had planted roots, but, you know, hey, we could sell. Another cool thing about it was we were in a 6-month housing market. I don't know if you guys, probably some of you are familiar with what that would mean. Our house sold before we had an open house. We put it on the market, and it was sold within a day. I mean, it was that that quick. And the really cool thing about that, by selling that house, allowed us to pay all the debt off that I had accumulated by being out of work for the previous years in Terre Haute. So the only debt I carried forward from that point was my student loan debt. And it was just amazing.
Okay, and so where did this new job take you? I know it was cold down,
cold
there.
Yeah, it was very cold. So we ended up moving to the Tampa Clearwater area in Florida. We were there for 18 months. It was a beautiful, up until that point, we hadn't vacationed at all. And so this was like a vacation. This was our vacation. We celebrated by buying a season pass. The kids were old enough to go to amusement park, so we bought a season's pass at Busch Gardens. We decided to do things differently with the church hunting experience that we had earlier. And basically, I said, you know what? We're not church hunting anymore. We're going to find one. I'll do some research online, make sure it's doctrinally sound. And then we're going to go and we're going to stick with it. We're not going to do this church hunting thing. So I found this church called Fresh Start, which it was very appropriate. Coming out of Nashville, I'm not going to go into details, but there were some spiritually troubling times for me in Nashville. There were some significant struggles that I had during that time. And this allowed me a fresh start as well. So it was almost like a closure of that book, closure of that chapter, and moving on to the next. But the friends that we met, there were lifelong friends there as well. One of the interesting things about living in Florida, Dominic, his best friend, Micah, is who he went to India with here a year ago. This year ago, July, I guess. So he wouldn't have had that experience probably. I wouldn't even have thought about it. It's something that their family asked us if he'd be interested in. So I guess that takes us up into...
Okay, so you there. Loved your job.
Left my
you
job.
Loved the church.
Loved the job. Yep, loved
you
the job.
You made friends, lifelong friends.
Yep.
It
perfect
was...
climate. Right?
Perfect climate, right. Yeah. In fact, you were totally happy. And so the inevitable question is, why in the world would you move from a place that will soon be desired to be the warm spot during these next 3 or 4 months back to Indiana? Because you were happy there in Tampa. Why did you move back to Indiana?
To preface that, this is just crazy, but... we'd look for a house. I mean, this just tells you how excited we were about living there. My wife was just thrilled. Amanda, she loved living there. One morning, I was sitting in the gym and was working out, had my playlist going on my, back then it was an MP3 player. And I was just doing my thing, and then all of a sudden a song came on. The song's called Homesick. I believe it's by Mercy Me. I don't know if you're familiar with it. Of course, I know the meaning of it is not intended for how it moved me, but that song hit me with a vengeance. God laid it on my heart during that song that I needed to be back in Indiana, and I couldn't explain it. I could not. I mean, it brought me to tears while I was in the gym. It moved me so hard that, Ryan, you need to be back in Indiana. You need to move your family back to Indiana and not wait. And I was in utter shock at the moment. I mean, I was in tears. I went out to my bike. I mean, I left the gym. I left my man card at the door and walked out of the gym and went to my bike. I was on my motorcycle and called Amanda and said, Amanda, you're not going to believe what just happened. She's like, what? We need to move. We need to move now. And she's like, yeah, right. And I said, no, I'm serious. Let's talk about this. We'll talk when we get home. So I went to work, didn't say anything. It was late in the week, like a Thursday, Friday. We had the weekend to talk about it, pray about it. I kind of explained to her what was going on. I don't know if I ever fully convinced her, but she was accepting to it. She agreed that, okay, we'll do this. My job required a month's notice for me to leave. It was a full-time position. That put the timing of it to basically then. We were trying to come back up for Christmas. This was mid-November. I basically had to give my notice that following week without a job. I had nothing lined up. God was telling me to move now, but I don't have a job. I've been in this position. I'm going back to the place that I had to leave from. doesn't make sense. We didn't tell family. We told no one. Well, we told one person in my family, my mom, because we're going to be moving in with her. other than that, we told virtually no one. And, of course, it was amazing. So we prayed about it that day or over the weekend. Went in the following week and went to my boss, explained to her the situation, said, she's like, well, do you have a job lined up? What do you got? No. The look of kind of, she was almost antagonistic looking, but the look of antagonistic went to a look of almost concern of, you know, what's going on? It's like, I've got to be home for family. This is just what I've got to do. She goes, well, let me help you out. You can use my office to interview in if you need any interviews. If you have any training material that we have access to, you're welcome to use it over the course of this next month. We're going to put you on leave instead of terminate you. That way, if you need to come back, you've got an open position for you. And would you be willing to consult for us for a little while in case we need some coverage? Okay. You know, not what I was expecting. I'd only been with them just over a year. Just amazing testimony there. But it doesn't end. I get back to my cube, and I've got a voicemail. I put out some emails and some phone calls that I made the weekend I was talking to Amanda, and got an email response, or sorry, a phone call response back from a lady I met at a conference several years back, and said, we've got an open position. You know, I interviewed for it. It was a remote position. I could work anywhere in the country, technically the world, I guess, but anywhere in the country. And she wanted me to start January 1. So I interviewed for the position. So it was almost like God was saying, take the step of faith. Do what I need you to do. Act in faith, and then I'll provide. And again, it blew me away. I called my mom back. I was like, yeah, we're not going to have to move in with you now. It's all good. You know, it was just amazing the way God moved through that and brought us here to OVCF. And we did very similar. We weren't going to hunt for churches. I basically drew a map on a map. My family, Amanda's family. All I knew was God was saying, move back for family. Okay. So I drew two circles on the map. I drew a line. And where they intersected, where all the lines intersected from where all of our extended family were, was Spencer, Indiana. Okay, we're moving to Spencer. We couldn't find a house that met our requirement. I was working from home. We homeschooled our three kids. Couldn't find it, so we ended up moving into Ellettsville for a little while and then moved to Gosport for about 10 years. So.
And that house in Ellettsville was a real fun one.
Yeah.
So you moved to Gosport, yeah. And God opened the door for you there. And you immediately plugged in OVCF. His connection was actually with Chris Wainscott.
Mm-hmm.
And they emailed each other, and then Chris told me about you guys, and I emailed, and then we went out to Chicago's Pizza in Ellettsville, good place to go. And
started a great tradition.
And from that point on, then you guys got involved here. But your journey is continuing. Those of you who don't know, Ryan and Amanda moved to Martinsville. They were there 5 days a week anyway. With Taekwondo, as well as
homeschool events.
Yeah. And then their three kids were going to eventually go to work. And so they moved to Martinsville, and your journey is continuing. Dominic is has a new job as, tell about the kids.
Yeah, so Dominic, he's been working actually as an appliance repairman in Martinsville and picking up some really, he's repaired our machines a couple times and family machines, but he'd been doing that as he finished up his schooling. He took a year off when he went to India, so he was about a year behind to finish up his high school diploma, but we felt that that was a good opportunity enough for him to go ahead and put that delay, and we homeschool, so we were flexible. But he has since graduated, and he is now will be working full-time for a power plant, actually for a security firm. He's investigating possibly going into security or law enforcement, and he thought this would be a good opportunity for him to get some hands-on, so that's what he's pursuing.
It's kind of a humorous story about that, too.
Yeah. So when he interviewed for it, he had to do a video interview on the computer, and it was funny, but then he went in for a formal interview, and one of the individuals that he interviewed with was a former Taekwondo member I broke his hand about probably 6-7 years ago, so during sparring. So he didn't hold it against him, thankfully.
Yeah, and Keegan's working at McDonald's.
Yeah, Keegan picked up a job working full time at McDonald's and loving it. Can't say he's loving every aspect of it, but he's loving the opportunity to work. So.
And then Aaliyah's babysitting as well as dogs or pet sitting.
Yeah, so she's pet sitting and doing some other sittings, pet sitting and babysitting and.
Okay, like so you are now involved in Hoosier Harvest Church in Martinsville. It's kind of a God thing as to what happened with that, and this is part of your journey, and so we're all
stepping stones.
Yeah, stones. So what happened when you walked into Hoosier Harvest? And
so my plan was to lay low, was to rest, was to recoup, and you know, enjoy for a little while. Didn't know what we were going to be long term, so I was hesitant to plug in because I didn't know how long we were going to be there, and I didn't want to, you know, I tend to wear my relationships very, very much, very surfacey, and so I didn't want to engage deeply with anyone for a very long time, and still tend to hold off. Went to their new member orientation or whatever, and went through their class. And the pastor said, "You know, we're looking for someone to do, you know, AV, audio visual tech. Anyone interested? You know, fill." The good news was they had two members that were graduating and moving to Bloomington to. Go to school and work down in Bloomington, and so they were trying to make the trip back and forth, and they'd basically given their notice that they were going to have to stop because it was just the traffic on 37 was just too crazy. Go figure. They opened up an opportunity for me to step in, so it's definitely not as organized as things are here. So
explain that.
Yeah. I put together the PowerPoint now, and I get the notes at 8 a.m. Sunday morning for a 10 a.m. service. And I'm putting together two PowerPoints. I put together one you see and the one the pastor scripts from. So, yeah, I'm doing both of those and the sound or the music and all that. I don't do the soundboard yet, though I've been trained, so I think I might know how to do that, but I'm not doing it yet.
Okay, so as we bring this to a close, your journey is still continuing, just like all our journeys. Every day is a journey, you know, and we don't always understand, you know, what is happening. What is the one major lesson that you've learned that you would pass on to us? If someone was to ask you, what's the one major lesson you have learned through all these years from Terre Haute all the way to Martinsville, what would it be?
We can put our plans together. We can stack them out. We can make them as organized and as planned out as we want. Bottom line is, God has a plan. God has a plan, and it's usually much larger, much more involved, much more complex than what we can ever imagine. How could I have planned for my sister to need a place to stay? How could I have planned on my stepdad having leukemia? How could I have planned on, you know, all the circumstances, the people we've met along the way? There's no way. How could I plan on having a job that I didn't have before I had it? God plans those steps. We've just got to be willing to take that step of faith at times to do what God has asked us to do.
And I think that's the point that I want to get. I'm thankful for God's plan. And as you've listened to Ryan, and I think some of you probably have the same kind of stories. You know, you let go of one place and you said, okay, God, what now? Gail, you're a perfect example of that. You know, you lived in Martinsville. Didn't you go to Hoosier Heart? No, you went to the Faith Church up there, moved down here and said, I got to find a church. And because you didn't want to go back and forth to Martinsville. You know, and all of us probably have those kind of stories where we can look back and we can say, yep, this was God's timing. This was God's plan. And I don't understand it. Didn't understand it. I still may not understand it. And yet, you know, God has his plan. His plans are always better than ours. And sometimes they are crystal clear, and sometimes they're as clear as mud. Eventually, I believe that we will probably grasp his plan. Somewhere along the line, we'll see it. That's the important thing, is that his plan is always better than ours. And, you hear me say that a lot. I wanted you to hear it from somebody else who has gone, and I'm sure that some of you could be up here too, telling your story and say, yep, that was definitely God's plan. I stepped out in faith. I had nowhere to go. I had no idea what was going on, but God led me to do this, and he was there for me. And so, I think that's the lesson. Did you want to share anything else?
Yeah, I didn't share what was so important about family. During the time that we've been here, Amanda lost her stepdad. He died not too long ago, about a year and a half ago. Her stepmom passed away. Her mom was diagnosed with cancer. She is in recovery now, so she's doing well. But just a lot of family events that would have been a lot of back and forth. And I'm just thankful for God's plan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, that's one of those things. Well, why do we have to move back there? You know, why does a song, you know, hit you so hard that you feel like you're going to lose your man card? You know, and yet, because he was obedient, God opened the door up, and now you begin to see God's plan unfold as it moves along. I go back to Romans 8:28, that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. But verse 29 says that we are being conformed to the image of Christ. And so all these things that are happening to us are there to conform us to Christ, to be more, you know, to be his image. And so Ryan and Amanda and their family, and our family and your family, you're learning those things as you move along. You know, as you see God moving, as you see him working, and even though you don't always understand, he's conforming you to his image. And so hopefully you will have taken away that lesson that I'm thankful for his plan in my life. Okay? So let's pray. And then I'm going to ask Ryan to go ahead and step down, and we'll prepare for communion. There's the plan right there. If there's ever a plan from the very beginning of time with Adam and Eve, you know, and God said, I'm going to put enmity between your seed and the woman's seed. And such a beautiful plan that all through the Old Testament, here's all these sacrifices, all of them pointing to one event, and that's the Lamb of God who was going to take away the sin of the world. And that's the one event that everything was pointing to. And then that is the one event really that everything points back to as well. And that's Jesus' death on the cross for our sin, because that's where salvation was accomplished. That's a plan. And so there's no greater plan than that. So we're going to have an opportunity to observe that time, to celebrate that plan with our communion time. So let's pray, and then the guys are going to serve you communion. Again, we ask that you hold it, and then I will lead us in communion together. Let's pray. And Lord, I just pray that, and thank you for your plan, that even though we don't understand, even though we don't see, we know, we can know in our heart of hearts that you are in control. Thank you for Ryan, for Amanda and the kids, and their desire to follow you. And even though that leading or that following led them away from here, we know that you are using them where they are. But all along, they've been following you. And all along, they have watched your plan unfold until it becomes clearer and clearer. And so I pray that you will continue to bless Ryan and Amanda and the kids, and that you'll continue to just unfold your goodness and unfold your will to them. We thank you for the cross. We thank you that from the very beginning, when Adam and Eve sinned, there was a plan in your head, in your mind, that there's going to be a Savior who's going to come, who's going to take care of all our sin, wipe out the condemnation, wipe out the punishment, and take our sin upon Himself. And so I thank you for that. And as we celebrate that, help us to remember that it's not just an event that happened 2,000 plus years ago, but it's an event that still impacts us today. That it's the plan of salvation. It's the plan of Jesus dying on the cross so that we don't have to. And that we don't have to spend eternity lost. But instead we can spend eternity with you. And so thank you. And help us just to be refreshed. Help us to be renewed because we're communing with you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.